gadgets now. They say all the gear and no idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we have a blessing tonight. All scripture is God breathed, is of the Lord, it's from God. But tonight we come to a few verses, and that's all it is, a couple of few verses that bewilders me and astonishes me and breaks me up. Because there's a God is proclaiming something in his word that he has done for me that I could not do for myself. And when I think about it, the more I study it, look at it, not the less I understand it. I understand exactly what it's saying. But I can't grasp and understand the depth of God's love for me by a verse. We see the heart and the nature and the character of God in his word, because it's living in this life, it's his word, it's God breathed. And people say that reading the Bible ain't important. Well, if it wasn't for the Bible, we wouldn't know anything about God. Know what we'd know about God? What I made up myself. That's what I know about God. What I made up myself about it. What I thought he was. Where I thought, how I thought he existed and what he thought he was about me. No different than it was before I was saved. So we're just going to go back a verse that I preached last week. Starting the last verse, chapter 5, verse 19. I'm going to read down 20 and 21. I think that's as far as we need to go. And please, God, I can do justice tonight just to explain the depths of what the Lord has done for me and for you. He says in verse 19 that it is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. If you remember, I spoke about this last week. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Verse 20. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Let's pray. Pray for me tonight. Pray for yourselves. And maybe it's in your own mind, in your own heart, you don't have to bow your head, but just ask the Lord and say, Lord, if you're not a Christian here tonight and you want to be a Christian, or you've been thinking about it, you've got questions, ask the Lord in your own mind. Say, Lord, speak to me tonight. Not that I want to convince you, but let the power of God and his word convict your heart, and that you know that God is real and you need to accept him tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Let your name be glorified and praised and lifted tonight, my God. Have your way, my God. Pour out your spirit and let your name be glorified. Bless us, my God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, just an overview. I'm not going to say too long. Just an overview of where I finished last week. It says, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So that word reconciliation, a Christian word, a Bible word, took me a long time to understand what that word meant. We hear a lot of words in church sometimes, we don't understand what they mean. I'll explain it. What reconciliation means, to reconcile. So if two people fall out, and you want to bring peace towards them. So listen, shake hands. Come on, make up, be friends. Let's sort this out. And you are the person that brings reconciliation. And what you do, the relationship that's broken, you put that relationship back, that there might be a true relationship there once more. To reconcile also meant in the old world, it meant to exchange something of worth, to give something of worth, and gain something of worth. So if you buy gold today, or you buy something, you're going to buy metal, you buy a piece of gold, you're exchanging money, which is of worth, for something else of worth. But hopefully, if you're having a good deal, you're giving less for more. Amen? Well, in God's eyes, that's what we was. Not that Christ, that we was greater than Christ, but above, God used Christ to reconcile us, the world, the lost world, to himself. So he gives something of worth, not that we was greater than Christ, but God loved us even above the suffering of his own son. He loved you so much that he was willing to give his son, Jesus Christ, to win me. But that doesn't mean he lost Jesus. Because when Jesus conquered death, and he died, and he rose from death to life, the Bible says that he has been exalted and has been given the name which is above every name. The all judgment has been given into his hands, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Hallelujah. God paid a price for me, and that price that he paid was his son Jesus. So look at it like this. If you had to give the thing that meant the most to you, what's the most precious thing in the world to you? And you'd say your children. Really, you'd just say your children. Maybe if you ain't got children, you'd say your family or something like that. The most precious thing in the world to you, I mean the thing that you'd die for, the thing that you'd think nothing of, going laying out on the M25 in the fast lane, letting 1,000 motors run over the top of you, and you wouldn't blink an eyelid, for the sake of that thing, what would that thing be? I'd say your children. Do that mean your wife? Your family? Well, in God's eyes, the thing most precious to him was us. And he proved it. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love towards us, that whilst we were sinners, Christ died for us. So you think to yourself, God don't love me. Well, God proved he loved you. Because when you didn't even know him, you didn't even think of him, you wasn't even living for him, he let his son die for you, that you might know him. How great is the love of God, amen? Amen. So we've been reconciled to God. That relationship was broken through Christ. What Christ done on the cross, when he died and rose again, he's reconciled us to God. And he hasn't imputed our sins to us. It means he hasn't reckoned our sins to us. He hasn't said, these sins belong to you. You've got to stand to them. The slate's been wiped clean. Reconciliation's run forgiveness. The slate is wiped clean. Same thing we could not do for ourselves, God has done. He's wiped the slate clean. He hasn't added the sin that we've committed to our account. And the Bible also says at the end of that verse, Donnie, that not only has he reconciled us, but he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. So now we have the ministry, the service, the calling to go and tell others and say, listen, I've been forgiven, I've been reconciled, I've been rid of all these things, the slate's been wiped clean for me, God's forgiven me, and God can forgive you. We now have this ministry of reconciliation. And it says that then he gives us the authority and the power and the position to go and reconcile others. It says in verse 20, so now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So now he's talking about an ambassador. Now an ambassador was a position that's still held today by people. And I wrote this down. I had a look what an ambassador was from how we understand it today. And an ambassador is the highest ranking delegate or diplomat in a state. So there's someone who's high ranking, they're given honour, and they work for the king, on behalf of the king, and they are what they call a diplomat. They serve the king in bringing peace and prosperity with the interests of that country and that kingdom. And they go into other countries and do this. They have the most important role on proclaiming friendship, desires and the will of the king to neighbouring and faraway countries. They're given authority and honour in representing the king. So they're not the king, but they speak on the king's behalf. So if an ambassador comes and speaks to a president or a king of another country, they speak on the king's behalf. They have the authority and the power to speak on the king's behalf. Now Paul says now, then we are ambassadors for Christ. So we have the word of reconciliation, we have the gospel, and now he's saying that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of the Lord. That's what we are. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of the Lord, ambassadors for the King. And he is sending us out into the world to represent him. We are chosen by him. We have his word. We have his message going to the world that he loves, and preaching to the people, be reconciled to Christ. And it says this, it says that, so now that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We are ambassadors for Christ. So we have the message of the King, and we go, it says, as though God was pleading through us, that God would plead to the people. Be saved. Be forgiven. Come to know me. This is the message that we tell people when we preach the gospel as Christians, when we tell people about the love and the sacrifice and the death and resurrection of the Lord. He says, as though we were pleading through us, there's an urgency there. As though he was pleading, please, please come to Jesus. Please be reconciled to God. Have that relationship brought back. What Adam lost in the garden, Jesus won again. Have it brought back. The Bible says as though he pleads through us, that we, God, listen, who am I? Who am I that God would use me to tell someone about his love and mercy and grace? Who are any of us that God would use us? Look at us here all in this church. Who am I that I should be a pastor? Who am I that I don't even deserve the love and the grace of the Lord? I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. But not only has God saved me and forgiven me and washed me and cleaned my life up, but now he says, now I'm going to use you. And you are going to be my ambassador. What, me? I want to be your representative. Yes. It don't make sense, does it? The Bible says that God will take the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God ain't looking for super-powered men and women. God ain't looking for someone with all the gifts and all the beauty and all the talent and all the charisma. God takes men and women and he washes and cleans them up and he sends them out. Who am I, Lord? When he went to Moses, and Moses said, Lord, I can't even speak. I can't even speak properly. I can't even open my mouth and say words. But yet he sent him back, that thousands and thousands, a million people would be set free from Pharaoh. Who are any of us that God would choose any of us? And not only has he made me his child, not only has he forgiven me, made me his child, he's washed me and cleansed me, he's given me a new life, he's blessed me, he's filled me with his spirit, I have a relationship with his son. But now he's going to use me to tell others about him? Come on, hallelujah. Who am I, Lord? And God says, you know what? Truth is, you're nobody, but you're the one I've chose. Be careful when you think you're something in Christ, in this world, amongst travelling gypsy people. Be careful when you think you're something. Because let me tell you something. God chooses nobodies. That they might go and tell somebody that he is everyone. He is everything to everybody. Amen?
Amen.
Pleading. We are ambassadors for Christ. Who are we? We are ambassadors for Christ. Or are we ambassadors for ourselves? Sometimes I think I'm an ambassador for myself. I'm trying to build my kingdom and spread my message. And make my life better. No, we are ambassadors for Christ. And we must be true representatives. Ambassadors are a representative of the King, and we must represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords truly and his message. Now this is the question I ask myself. Does the Church of Christ today, do we truly represent Jesus Christ? Do I, as an ambassador for Jesus, that's something I am. If I'm born again, I'm an ambassador for Christ. He says, so now then, you are ambassadors for Christ. Does the Church of Jesus Christ today, does every born-again believer, well, forget about everybody else, just start here tonight. And me included, Charles included, every one of us included. Do the Church of Jesus Christ today, are we a true representation of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Would we accept anyone for it indoors? Because Jesus would. Would we tell anybody about the love of Jesus Christ? Would we help anyone as a testimony for the love of Jesus Christ? Do I, and listen, I fail the Lord every single day of my life. But when people look at me, do they see the mercy and the grace of the Lord? I know that my family know I'm a Christian. So I've been saved for 25 years, and I've been telling them for 25 years they need Jesus. 25 years ago, I gave my life to the Lord, and my life has never been the same since. Well, let's put it this way. I'm not the man I used to be. I know that our families know that we are Christians and that we go to church. And let me tell you something, Christianity is more than just going to church. And let me tell you something, I hope it is as well. It's got to be more than following the Lord and coming here two or three times a week, eh? Please, Lord Jesus. But if the rest of the world that surround us for any amount of time, would they know that I'm a Christian? Would they know that you're a Christian? And I'm not saying meeting someone face to face for the first time, I'm out calling, I call 50 people a day, I'm going out 20 different firms a day. Do you know what I mean? People don't talk, they go, I bet you're a Christian. Do you know what I mean? It's, what have I said to the man? Do you want to buy something? Do you know what I mean? The man will know I'm a Christian from that, is he? Do you know what I mean? But if I spend any amount of time with anybody, me and the boys, I was over Blue Water the other week, and there were some fellas up and down, and I've twigged them, and I thought, yeah, they can have it in a minute, they keep floating up and down, and I'll tell them about the Lord. So we're sitting there at the Krispy Kreme shop, a few of us, and I just started off to have a chat with these couple of fellas, how you doing, you alright, yeah, blah, 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 blah. But I kept trying to have a chat with them, they kept slipping me, and then I cornered them. They're having a chat, I said, listen, you believe in the light, and you look at the other one, and then I told you them fellas was Christians. I told you they was Christians. You was being too friendly, mate. He thought I was a weirdo, you know what I mean? And listen, I thought, you know what, as soon as he said it, I thought, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, you know what I mean? He said, I knew you was Christians. You was up to something. I said, yeah, listen, yeah, I want to tell you about the Lord, yeah. What a shame it is. And I've been in places, and probably, and I know I've been guilty of it myself. I've got caught up in a moment. I've got caught up with the company. And you see Christians, and when you see them in church, you know they're saved. But when you see them out with unsaved people, you stand and listen to them for a while, and look at them for a while, and you wouldn't know whether they was a Christian or not. Because they talk and look and sound no different in the same conversations than what the world's talking about. Brothers and sisters, as ambassadors for Christ, are we different? Am I different? Do we long to be different? Not weirdo. I'm not about being a weirdo. You've got to be a weirdo and let everyone know you're a Christian. No, you ain't got to be a weirdo. But you've got to be different. When we say we are the church of Jesus Christ, that word church means the called out ones. The Bible says, come out from amongst the world. You're a chosen people, a chosen priesthood. We are meant to be different. I'm not meant to live the same, act the same, think the same, and talk the same as people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. You know why? Because they don't know Jesus. And I do. And because I know Him, I'm meant to be different. And that is the truth, isn't it? When you met Jesus Christ, your life changed. Why? Because the Holy Spirit come upon me and I can't meet Jesus and be the same man. No one can meet the Creator of the universe and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and be the same man and woman. And if you are, you ain't met with Christ. We are representatives. And I look at myself sometimes and I know this. I can be driving home and someone cut me up and I am not a very good representative of the Lord. I'm not a very good ambassador. Or worse still, I'm cutting somebody else up. That's usually what I'm doing. I'm one of them people, all the good people sitting in the lane, in the traffic, because they want to get off. And all the rest of the lanes want to go straight on. I'll go down as far as I can
and then pour right in on somebody and get you in as close because I can't be bothered to queue up. I've probably got a Christian fish on the back of my mower. As an ambassador of Christ, as simple as that sounds, you know, the least little thing, I should consider Jesus in. Why? Because I go in his name and I'm representing him. And brothers and sisters, make no mistake, if you do something wrong, someone will be there to see you do it. What, him? Joseph Anderson. He's supposed to be a Christian. If I ever, listen, God forgive me, but you know, if I ever do anything good for the Lord, no one's ever there to see it. And I thank the Lord, that's the way it's meant to be. Because the Bible says, if you do your good deeds before men, then you've got your reward. Do them in secret that God may see. Hallelujah. Ambassadors for the Lord. Let's put it this way. The country's, the world's changing, the country's changing, they've got blasphemy laws come out, and it'll probably be a Muslim country one day, and we're going to have to box a bit more different then when we go through that. But the world is changing in such a way that these countries where Christians suffer and go through persecution probably end up happening in England in one day. But free speech is, what we call free speech, preaching the gospel is being shut down and everything's changing. So let's imagine in a minute it's illegal to be a Christian. To not only talk as a Christian, not only preach the gospel, but to live life as a Christian. It's illegal to be a Christian. If it was illegal to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence in my life to convict me and send me to prison? Because there should be if I am. Would there be enough evidence in our lives to convict us and send us to prison? When unsaved people around you for any amount of time, do they know that you're different? Because you're an ambassador for Christ. Do you go places with that in mind? I'm not myself, I'm not Joseph Andrews, I'm an ambassador for Christ here. I remember being at a funeral years ago, we were sitting up and I was a young Christian, and there was only me and my brother Billy there, and Uncle Neddy, and there must have been 300 men sitting up. I remember Uncle Neddy saying, he always stuck with me. He went, "Do you know who you," he said, "we're saved." And he went, "We are candles in a dark place." He said, "But even though that light flickers and it's only small, everyone here can see it. Because the greater the darkness, the more the light shines." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he, verse 21, made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That verse there is probably one of the greatest verses in the whole of the Bible. In Jesus' day, at Passover, the high priest would take a lamb or sometimes a goat, and they would take one to one side, and they was doing the sacrifice, and they'd take another one to one side, and they'd pray and lay their hands on the lamb, and the sin of the nation, the sin of Israel, would pass on to that lamb, like a representation. The sin of the nation would be transferred onto that lamb, and then they would take it out of the city and scooch it off out into the wilderness and let it go. And it was like the sins was being took away from the people. That's what it represented. The sins was taken away from the nation of Israel. And Jesus was that lamb. That's what he did for us. So not only did he pay the price, this is what it says. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. So not only did he pay the price when he was crucified on the cross, but our sin was placed on Jesus Christ. In fact, the sin of the world. In fact, the sin of the whole world. Past, present, and future. So every sin that was committed before Jesus, every sin that has been committed up till Jesus and up till now, and every sin that's going to be committed, the blood of Jesus paid for it all. But not only did he pay for it all, but that all that sin, the sin of the world, was put on him. Even though he'd never sinned, he was completely innocent, the Bible says that our sin was placed on him and he became sin for us. And that's what I mean. That Jesus done something that I could not do for myself. I could not, all the good deeds in the world could not wash away my sin. All the goodness in the world could not wash away my sin. Could not take away my sin. It had to be paid for and washed away. He'd done it freely, and he'd done it before I even loved him or knew him. Jesus paid a price for me and for you before we even loved him and knew him. This doesn't mean that when Jesus was on the cross, he became a sinner. Jesus never sinned and was completely innocent of all wrongdoing. But he took our sin upon himself, just like that lamb, just like at Passover, the priest would lay his hands on the lamb. It was a representation of all the sins of the nation would be passed on the lamb, and they'd send it away, send it out to the wilderness. The Bible says that when we've been forgiven of our sin, that God takes it and he remembers it no more. He throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. That when I stand before the Lord, even though I'm guilty, I'm a guilty man, but when I stand before the Lord, because I'm saved, that's been wiped clean. I stand before him righteous and forgiven. I'll read it again. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And then this is our part. So he took all my sin and all my punishment and all the sin of the world. Jesus took it all when he hung upon the cross. And what did I receive? That we might become, the righteousness of God in him. You know what righteousness means? It means to have a right standing before the Lord. So when God looks at me, he sees me as righteous. I have a right standing. He sees me, let me put it like this. When God looks at me, he don't see Joseph Anderson, the dirty, rotten sinner who deserves hell. But because of what Jesus has done, he sees his son Jesus. He sees the righteousness of his son Jesus. He sees that I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, his son Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if that ain't the most wonderfulest thing in the world, I don't know what is. If that ain't the most wonderful and beautifulest thing in the world, if that don't stir your heart, I don't know what will. If that ain't the most beautifulest thing in the world, I don't know what it is. Something I could not do, God chose to do. How many things have we received since being forgiven, since being saved? How many wonderful things God has given us on becoming his child? And how I take it with, I don't know, I wouldn't say I mistreat his grace, but sometimes I take it lightly. All the things that the Lord has done for me. Now I'm going to read it slow one more time, because I've read this 1,000 times. And the more I've read it, the more I still can't, Lord, how much do you love me? I can't comprehend how much you love me, Lord, and what you've done. For he, God, Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, completely innocent, to be sin for us, completely guilty, that we might, something we receive, become the righteousness of God in him. The innocent become the guilty, so the guilty could become righteous in the Lord. When I stand before the Lord, not because of anything I've done, but one day when I stand before the Lord, not because of anything I've done or anything I deserve. You could be a billionaire, give everything to charity. You could save 1,000 little children. You could do everything. You won't outgive God. There's no way you can earn your salvation. The Bible says we was completely hopeless on the way to hell. If God never reached down and pulled us out, we wouldn't have made it. If God never intervened in this world and sent his son Jesus Christ, not one man or woman throughout all of history from beginning to end would ever make it to heaven. Because the Bible says if you've ever told one lie, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I remember reading that thinking, what chance has any travelling man got? If you've ever told one lie, a wrong thought, you can't enter the kingdom of God. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal, you never chore anything, you never took anything, regardless of your cost. If you give belong to you and you've took it, kept it for your own, you're a thief. How guilty would we be when the bar is set so high? How many things would we have stacked up against us when we stood before the Lord? When the bar is set so high? And yet me, the worstest of all men, a rotten sinner who don't deserve nothing from God. No favours. No divine mercy. When I get to heaven, then that slate's got to be wiped clean. Then paper's gone against me. It hasn't written my sin against me. And not only he won't remind me of it, he remembers it no more. And he goes, you know what? Everything I put it on my son. That you might, and I want to look at you, I look at you and go, you are my son. You are my child, a co-heir of Christ, forgiven. How wonderful, a beautiful thing is salvation. It's so wonderful. There's people climbing mountains and blowing other people up and going to war and doing all different sort of things to try and put themselves in a good place with God. And God gives it freely just by accepting his son, Jesus Christ. How wonderful is the gospel? How wonderful is Jesus? And beautiful is Jesus Christ that he would come to earth, that he see me, but I don't know him, he ain't worth two bob. But I'm going to die for him anyway. Because I love him. Because I love him. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When the Bible says the world, that's you, that's me. We are the world. And we've been forgiven. And reconciled and made clean and made children of God and filled with his spirit and blessed and given a service and a ministry to serve him and bring others to him. And all my sin placed on him, on the innocent man, the precious Lamb of God. And all my filth and my dirt washed away and stand before the Lord in robes of white, washed clean. I tell you this today. For those who don't know Jesus Christ personally as their Lord and Saviour, you best get to know him. Why refuse? The Bible says, how will we escape if we reject so great a salvation? When God has done something so wonderful and you won't refuse to see it, you refuse to surrender to the Lord, you refuse to come to Jesus Christ, what remains for you one day when you stand before the Lord? What hope is there? We can do nothing any good to enter into heaven. I'll tell you a story. There was this travelling man stopping near an old wood. And he had a little boy, a little baby boy. He takes his boy out with him on the back of his trolley. And he goes out collecting firewood. He's putting out old bits of dead wood. And as he's putting out these old bits of dead wood out this edge, an old fox comes out, bolts out, startles the pony. And the pony takes off. His boy's on the cart, on the back of the trolley, helping his dad put the wood on. And it takes off, flat out, this pony. And the man's chasing after it, and he loves his bit of son. And he can see this flat out down across this field. And he's screaming, please, somebody help. And the boy's holding on for dear life. Hold on. The boy's holding on for dear life. And the pony's going. He's got no chance of catching his pony. And he can see it's coming to an end. There's like a little bit of a cliff at the end. And the pony's going to go off. His boy's going to be destroyed and lost. And he's crying out, please, Lord, somebody help. He's chasing after this pony. And an old Rhymer steps out and grabs the old pony by the horn, slows him up, says, whoa, and holds the pony up and stops it. And the man rushes. And his boy's crying. He grabs the boy off. And he loves the boy up. And he says to the man, thank you very much. And the man says, it's all right. It's not a problem. Do you need any more help? He says, no, we're fine. And the man goes on his way. The travelling man says, thank you to him. He's got his boy back. His boy was saved. He never died that day. And years go past, and the man dies, and the boy grows up, and the boy's completely wayward, a complete rebel. And he ends up in and out of getting locked up, and in and out, and doing this, and robbing this one, and doing this, just living a life, and drunkenness, and rottenness, and no good. You don't know God. And he stands before a judge. He looks like getting a lot of time. He's hurt somebody. He looks like getting a lot of time. He's looking at this judge and he's thinking, I know this man. And the man says, before I pass judgment, you've been found guilty. He said, "I have the power to give you a sentence today or set you free. But have you got any last words before I make up your mind?" And the boy says, "I've got one question. Do I know you? Been playing on my mind," he said, "for the last week. I've seen you in this courthouse every day. Do I know you?" He says, "Yes, you do know me." He said, "Remember when you was a little boy and you was on the back of the horse on the car and it took off and I saved you?" He said, "I stopped the horse and I saved you." He said, "Yes, I do remember that. Were you that man?" He said, "I was that man." He said, "But that day, I was your saviour. Today I'm your judge. And you're in this place here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. And he's done something so wonderful. Today you can have him as your saviour. You can be reconciled, you can be forgiven. You can know him personally, you can have your sins washed away, you can have this wonderful saviour in your life. But if you don't, and you draw your last breath and stand before God, you meet him as your judge. You choose today. This way is heaven, and that way is hell. You choose today. Wonderful thing that God has done. Come and know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. Come and surrender your life to Jesus. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, hallelujah. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. He loves you today. Come surrender your life. Let's pray.